Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Ballabh Sen and Sri Kanto Sen were the sub-branches of Sivananda Sen, for they were not only his nephews, but also unalloyed devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Lord Nityananda Prabhu rebuked Sivananda Sen on the way to Puri, these two nephews of Sivananda left the company as a protest and went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. The Lord could understand the feelings of the boys, and He asked His personal assistant Govinda to supply them prasad until the party of Sivananda arrived. During the Rath Yatra Sankirtan festival, these two brothers were members of the party led by Mukunda. In the Gaur Ganadesh Deepika, it is said that the gopi whose name was Katayani appeared as Srikanta Sen. So, this chapter of Adilila, 10th chapter, is describing the different branches of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tree. Family, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's family, the family of devotees. In that tree, the trunk of the tree is Nityananda Prabhu. Bhaje Nityanandam Bhajanatoru Kandan Nirabadhi. Bhajanatoru, bhajan means devotion and toru means tree. In this devotional tree, in the tree of devotion, Nityananda Prabhu is the kanda, means the trunk. On that trunk, the whole tree stands. And so all the relations, the devotees have been established their relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way, in this chapter. Like here, Sivananda Sen was a very, very intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he used to lead the party. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, the devotees from Bengal used to go to visit him during the Rath Yatra festival. And they used to stay there for about 4 months. 4 months of monsoon, they used to stay in Jagannath Puri, the 4 months of Chaturmash, so to say. And Sivananda Sen used to lead the party. He was a very wealthy person, and he used to sponsor also. All the expenses were borne by him. And he used to make all the arrangements, like not only the arrangement for food, also arrangement for paying the expenses. They used to travel on foot, but they used to pay for the, when they had to cross the river, they had to pay the boatman. And then there were the borders of different states. And in the border also, they had to pay toll, tax. So when they came to Bengal and Orissa border, they had to pay tax. And Sivananda Sen was making this negotiation, and he became very late. He became quite late. And Nityananda Prabhu was feeling hungry. Sivananda Sen had to make the arrangements for prasad. Because he didn't come, like, the prasad got delayed. And Nityananda Prabhu was feeling hungry, and he became upset. So when Sivananda Sen came, he kicked him on his chest. That is Nityananda Prabhu. He was, his behavior was completely unpredictable. At times he's the ocean of mercy, at times he was fiery as a volcano. And so in this way Sivananda Sen received the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. And he not only kicked him, he also cursed him. And Shivananda Sen's wife became very upset, and here we can see Shivananda Sen's nephew, Ballav Sen and Shrikanta Sen also became very upset, and they, Ballav Sen and Shrikanta Sen actually left the party because of the way Nityananda Prabhu treated Shivananda Sen. But what was Shivananda Sen's reaction to that? Shivananda Sen's reaction was that Nityananda Prabhu's beating and Nityananda Prabhu's cursing is the greatest benediction that one can ever receive. So this is the mood of a devotee. But again, the devotee's followers couldn't tolerate. So Shivallabh Sen and Shrikanta Sen went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and complained that this is how Nityananda Prabhu treated them, treated his their uncle. And so that is been pointed out, when Prabhupada pointed out that in Gaur Ganadesh Deepika, this is a book by Kavi Karnapur, written by Kavi Karnapur, Shivananda Sen's son actually. And in that book, they have he described all the different associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's identity, the identity of different associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Krishna's pastimes. We know that Nityananda Prabhu, Balaram came as Nityananda Prabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, Balaram is Nityananda Prabhu. We know the principal ones, but actually, Kavi Karnapur, through this book, Gaur Ganadesh Deepika, the identification of the Gaur Gana, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's identity, spiritual identity, has been elaborately described in that book. Like how all of Krishna's, all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates are actually coming from Krishna Leela. They are Krishna's pastime. They are from Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So, in Gaur Ganadesh Deepika, Prabhupada pointed out in the purport, it has been mentioned that Shrikanta Sen is a gopi whose name was Kattayani, Kattayani Gopi. So we keep on reading this next verse. I just read the verses and translations and purports as they come. Prabhu Priya Govinda Nanda Mahabhagavat Prabhur Kirtaniyayadi Sri Govinda Datta. Govinda Nanda and Govinda Datta, the 25th and 26th branches of the tree, were performers of kirtan in company of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Govinda Datta was the principal singer of Lord Chaitanya's kirtan party. Govinda Datta appeared in the village of Sukhachara near Khardaha. Khardaha is a place which is not so far from Calcutta, and that is where Nityananda Prabhu actually settled down. And there is a village next to that called Sukhachara, and Govinda Datta appeared. Govinda Datta came from there. He appeared there. Shri Bijay Dash Nam Prabhura Akhariya Prabhure Anek Puthi Diyache Likhiya. Shri Vijay Das, the 27th branch, another of Lord's chief singers, gave the Lord many books written by hand. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Formerly, there were no printing presses nor printed books. All books were handwritten. Precious books were kept in manuscript form in the temples or important places. And anyone who was interested in a book had to copy it by hand. Vijay Das was a professional writer who copied many manuscripts and gave them to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So nowadays books have become so readily available, so easily available. But those days the books were handwritten. There was no paper. They were written on palm leaves. Palm leaves are thick and they are durable, very, very durable. They stay there for hundreds of years. And they don't get, unless they get eaten by insects, they remain without being affected. And they used to write the scriptures on those leaves. And so we can see how rare those books used to be. And those books used to be kept in the temples or in some rich brahmana's house. The access to the scriptures were only available to the brahmanas. And those books were kept, and when somebody needed something, then they would copy those books from the original ones. And Vijayadas was the copier. And he had another name. In next verse we'll say that his name was Ratnabahu. Ratna means a jewel and Bahu means hand. His handwriting was so beautiful that Mahaprabhu gave him the name a Jeweled Hand. His beautiful jewel-like writing. So, and we have seen like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, Vijayadas copied those scriptures for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and presented them to him. But Mahaprabhu himself wrote two books. When he was traveling to South India, he came to Adikeshava temple in South India, on the bank of a river called Payoshini. On the bank of Payoshini river, there is a beautiful temple, and Prabhupada pointed out that the temple is still existing, is still there. And there Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came across the Brahma Samhita. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not the entire Brahma Samhita, the fifth chapter of Brahma Samhita. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so impressed with that book. Of course, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he knows everything. So, he apparently was so impressed with that book that he personally copied it. And that shows how valuable, how precious, how important that book is. Mahaprabhu, mind you, he did not carry anything. When he was traveling to South India, he didn't want to take anybody with him. He wanted to go just alone. Then Nityananda Prabhu insisted, no, you have to take somebody with you. Because you will be chanting in your hand. You'll keep count. That's another thing that Mahaprabhu, we can see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing. When he was chanting the holy name, he was counting the holy name. Sometimes people say that, oh, only a neophyte stage you need to count. When you become advanced, you don't have to count. Who can be more advanced than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was counting the names as he was chanting. The Vedic way of counting, you know, like 10, thing goes like when you get Brahmin initiation, you learn how to count 10 in one finger, and then in the other finger they're keeping the count. So this is how each 10 was counted in other fingers, and this is how Mahaprabhu was counting the chanting of his name. Even the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were chanting their rounds, keeping count. Sankha Purvaka Nama Gana Natibhi. Sankha Purvaka Namagana. They were taking the holy name of the Lord by counting. Sankha Purvaka. So Nityananda Prabhu pointed out that, look, both your hands will be busy counting the names. So how will you carry your Bohirbash How will you carry your dress? At least you have to have one set, extra set, because when you'll take bath, one set will get wet, then you have to wear the dry one, and you have to carry the water pot and your danda. The danda was already broken by Nityananda Prabhu. By that time, Nityananda Prabhu broke Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas danda and threw it in the river. And so, water pot and bohirvash, your dress, change of cloth, and your water pot, who will carry? So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to accept a companion with him, and that was Kala Krishna Das. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can see, like, he would not take anything with him. Somebody else was carrying just his change of cloth and water pot. Now that, in that condition, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu copied this scripture. So that shows how important it is. And what is that? There are two books actually that Mahaprabhu himself copied. One is Brahma Samhita and the other is Krishna Karanamrita. And Prabhupada pointed out the importance of Brahma Samhita. Prabhupada pointed out that the essence of Vedanta Sutra, which is the ultimate conclusion of the Vedas, Vedanta. Vedanta's essence has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam. The natural commentary of Vedanta Sutra, given by Vasudev himself, is Srimad Bhagavatam. And Brahma Samhita is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole of the entire Vedic scriptures has been pointed out or converged into this Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam has been converged into this Brahma Samhita. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. So this Brahma Samhita, when we see that just this 29th to 65th verse, 56th verse, 27 verses, gives the entire understanding, spiritual understanding. Who is Krishna and who is everyone else in relation to Krishna? So that's why if we understand Brahma Samhita, we understood everything. So that is how important Brahma Samhita is. And that we can understand from Mahaprabhu's own action. When he would not carry anybody, when he would not take anybody with him, he didn't even bother to carry his clothes and things. He personally wrote, copied this Brahma Samhita when he found it. And now it has become so easily available to all of us. And it has become so easily available that we fail to recognize its importance. We don't really bother to study that so carefully. So when things are rare, then its value becomes enhanced. But unfortunately in this age, very fortunately in this age, this spiritual wisdom has become so easily available. Now we must recognize its value and take advantage of that. And it happened by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Srila Prabhupada not only distributed Krishna consciousness all over the world, but Srila Prabhupada made all the arrangements that the spiritual understanding becomes so easily available to us. he gave all the books written in English, the most popular language of the world today. Actually, if we consider a world language, then English is the language. Wherever we go, English is always there. Whether you go to Middle East, whether you go to East Europe, whether you go to Africa, everywhere, the local, along with the local language, the English language is always there. So that's why Srila Prabhupada translated everything in English. And then all these writings of Srila Prabhupada have been translated now in all different languages of the world. And it's the number of the translations are increasing every day. So this is how Prabhupada made this most profound spiritual wisdom available to all of us. As I was saying, in the previous ages, this knowledge was exclusively reserved for the Brahmanas. One had to be a Brahmana to study the scriptures. And not only just by being born in a Brahmana family, in order to study the scriptures, one had to become duly initiated. And that, therefore, the initiation is called the second birth, Dvijatva. Janmana jayate shudra. By birth, everyone is a shudra. But sanskarat bhavati dvija. By the process of purification and initiation, one becomes dvija, twice born. Then he becomes eligible, then he becomes qualified to study the Vedas. Veda pathat bhavet vipra. Then he becomes a vipra, studying the Vedas. And then finally, brahma janati iti brahmana. When one understands the spiritual reality, Brahman, then he becomes a Brahmana. So there was a consideration of qualification. Only the Brahmanas had access to the Vedic scriptures. But in the age, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned things upside down, made it available to everyone, all the Vedic scriptures, and not only the Vedic scriptures, the highest spiritual wisdom. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it available to everyone. And although he made it available, he himself distributed it only through India, throughout India. But he made a prediction. It will spread all over the world. In not only all over the world, in every town and village. Say about 100 years back, this would appear to be like, and not only 100, about even 60 years back, it would appear to be an impossible prediction. How can Krishna consciousness movement spread all over the world? But today we see that it has happened. And when you think about it, how it happened, obviously it happened by the divine arrangement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his divine arrangement is that he sent Srila Prabhupada. That is his divine arrangement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to award the credit of this most amazing spiritual achievement for his dearmost devotee. And that is Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada made the perfect arrangement for the mission to continue. And that is ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada, when he started to preach, Srila Prabhupada, we can imagine, Srila Prabhupada went to America in 1965. It was the end of 65, actually. And at that time, Srila Prabhupada was struggling. Prabhupada didn't know where he was going to stay, what he was going to eat. He didn't have any security whatsoever. But then we find that Srila Prabhupada started to get some opportunities to spread Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada didn't want to establish an institution immediately. Prabhupada invited his godbrothers. He was writing to his godbrothers in India. Please come, the opportunity is here to preach. And Guru Maharaj wanted so much to spread this movement to the West. So you all come. Prabhupada was prepared to give them the lead and take a back seat for himself, just be a follower. But when they did not respond, then Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON. But we notice that when Prabhupada started to preach, he saw the need for an institution. Because from his spiritual master, Prabhupada learnt that in order to... this mission was not going to be achieved in one lifetime. Prabhupada knew that he won't be able to spread Krishna consciousness in every town and village in one lifetime. And also Prabhupada started at the age of 70. So how many years he had left? But this mission had to continue. What Prabhupada started had to continue. And that's why there was a need for an institution. And Srila Prabhupada saw how his spiritual master established an institution, and through the institution he was preaching Krishna consciousness all over India so effectively. And his final instruction to his followers were, maintain that institution collectively. But unfortunately, most of his followers couldn't understand the meaning of that, importance of that. Their reaction was, how can a spiritual organization be maintained by a group of managers? For spiritual institution, we need a spiritual head. So they appointed a spiritual head. And when that personality had spiritual difficulty, the whole structure collapsed. Therefore, Prabhupada emphatically told us not to make the same mistake that his godbrothers made after Guru Maharaj's disappearance. And that was, they didn't understand the importance of continuing the mission through a collective management. They didn't understand the importance of an institution to continue the mission. What Prabhupada started single-handedly could not be continued by one man. It had to be continued collectively. And that's why there's the need for an institution. And we see, although Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission was preaching Krishna consciousness so effectively throughout India at that time, but soon after his disappearance, as the institution collapsed, the preaching stopped. Although most of the sannyasis continued without falling down. Most of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, sannyasis, continued. They were continuing in their own way in a small little temple. They were preaching, they were initiating devotees, and they were training them and so forth. But preaching stopped. Why? Because the institution disintegrated. On the other hand, we see in ISKCON, although unfortunately we had so many sannyasis fallen down, but ISKCON is continuing to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Why? Because of that institution that Srila Prabhupada created. Institution means collective management, collective endeavor. And look at Srila Prabhupada's instructions. What is Srila Prabhupada's most important instruction? At least according to my understanding, the most important instruction of Srila Prabhupada is, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada is emphatically pointing out the importance of collectively endeavoring to spread this mission together. Your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. What can be more important thing in our life? Our love for Srila Prabhupada. How do we express our love for Srila Prabhupada? Naturally through our cooperation to spread this movement. And since it is happening, we are seeing the result. Krishna consciousness movement is spreading so effectively all over the world. And that also brings back the other consideration, the two other very important instructions of Srila Prabhupada. That is, no matter whatever happens, don't leave ISKCON. It's a very clear instruction. No matter whatever happens, don't leave ISKCON. So that's again pointing out the need for being in the institution for the sake of our own spiritual welfare and propagating Krishna consciousness all over the world. And the third instruction that I consider to be very important is the GBC is the ultimate managing authority. Srila Prabhupada in his will has made that point. And he told us also, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted his institution to be maintained collectively by a governing body. But because they didn't follow that instruction, the institution collapsed and preaching stopped. So to hold the institution together, we need these arrangement, a collective concept of management. The benefit of collective concept of management is, if any individual, no matter how exalted he may be, if that individual has spiritual difficulty, the body, a collective body, can take care of the difficulty. So that is the need for the important. And besides that, like how can we continue the mission of Srila Prabhupada? Can any one person inherit Srila Prabhupada's position? No. No one is fit enough to fit into Srila Prabhupada's shoes. Therefore, it has to be a collective endeavor. And more the merrier. And we are seeing that as the movement is growing, mission is spreading, and Krishna consciousness is being distributed all over the world. And it will continue like that. And eventually what will happen? And the whole world will become Krishna conscious. Every town and village. Can Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words go in vain? Can the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead go in vain? No. When he said every town and village, it is bound to be every town and village. That's it. So that is the ultimate achievement. When it will happen, we do not know, but it will happen. So, Ratnabahu Boli Prabhu Thuilatar Naam Akinchan Prabhur Priyo Krishna Dashanam. As I mentioned, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Vijayadas the name Ratnabahu, jewel-handed, because he copied for him many manuscripts. The 28th branch was Krishnadas, who was very dear to the Lord. He was known as Akinchan Krishnadas. Purport: Akinchana means one who possesses nothing in this world. Akinchana, who has no possession whatsoever. So this is how Mahaprabhu's devotees were. Why they could act like that? No possession. Why? Because they got the greatest possession. They got the greatest shelter. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. When someone is taking care of you in all respects, do you have to worry about anything? And that's why their Mahaprabhu's devotees are Akinchan. Because they don't, they know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is going to take care of them in all respects. Khola bacha Sridhar Prabhuro Priyodash Jahashane Prabhu Kare Nitto Parihash. The 29th branch was Sridhar, a trader in banana tree bark. He was a very dear servant of the Lord. On many occasions, the Lord played jokes on him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada: Sridhar was a poor brahmana who made a living by selling banana tree bark to be made into cups. Most probably he had a banana tree garden and collected the leaves, skin and pulp of the banana trees to sell daily in the market. He spent 50% of his income to worship the Ganges, and the balance he used for his subsistence. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his civil disobedience movement in defiance of Kazi, Sridhar danced in jubilation. The Lord used to drink water from his water jug. Sridhar presented a squash to Sachidevi to cook before Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. Every year he went to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. According to Kavi Karnapur, Sridhar was a cowherd boy of Vrindavan whose name was Kusumashab. In his Gorganadas Deepika, verse 133, it is stated, Kholabecha khatya, kholabecha khyata, pandita Sridhara dijaha, ashid braje hasya karo jo namna Kusumasabaha. The cowherd boy known as Kusumashab in Krishna Leela later became Kholabecha Sridhar during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela at Navadvip. So, yeah, he's another extremely wonderful personality, Kholabecha Sridhar. As Prabhupada pointed out, he was so poor that he used to maintain himself just by selling banana tree bark, khola. Khola means banana tree. How many of you have seen banana tree? The banana trees peel off the barks peel off, and they are used for making cups. They kind of cut it and stick it together in side, lifting the sides. Anyway, so this is how he used to maintain himself. Not only that, he used to just sell them, and whatever the proceeds was, half he used to use for worshipping Ganges. Whatever few little paisa he got. With half the money, he would buy some flowers and whatever articles for worshipping Ganges, and he would worship Ganges. Mahaprabhu was a young boy at that time. And Kholabecha Sridhar was a man of word. In India, and I think it's a common culture in the eastern countries, to bargain. There is a rasa between the buyer and seller. Seller would name a price and the buyer would bargain. And there would be a competition. So this is how they used to have their relationship. But Sridhar was a man of one word. Whatever price he would quote, you have to pay that price. But Mahaprabhu used to go and bargain with him. And he said, look, I name the price, either pay it or get lost. Then Mahaprabhu would say, then I won't pay anything. Saying that, he would pick up some vegetable or whatever he needed. And then Sridhar would hold on to that, and there would be a tug of war. They would start pulling. And so this is how Mahaprabhu used to have his pastimes. And he used to joke with Sridhar that you pretend to be poor. I know you're very rich. He said, your poverty is just a matter of pretension. And Sridhar will say, don't waste my time. Like, I don't have any time to talk to you. And he said, why don't you give some of your wealth to me? And this is how Mahaprabhu would joke with him. whatever Mahaprabhu said, obviously, was not wrong. Because apparently Sridhar, materially he was Akinchana, very poor. But spiritually, he had a lot of asset. That is what Mahaprabhu was addressing. And when Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Prabhupada mentioned here, that in he did the Chatkazi Dalan. He, in defiance of Chatkazi, he took the Sankirtan. Chatkazi, the Kazi, the governor of that place, ordered that there should not be any chanting of the holy name. And he broke the Mridanga and he threatened everyone that if anybody indulges in this activity, then he would convert them into Muslim. So everyone became very afraid. So, but when Mahaprabhu got to know that, Mahaprabhu's reaction was, whoever dares to stop Sankirtan of Krishna, chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And he said, okay, come, everybody get together in the evening and we will go to Chatkazi's house. And then you know what happened. So many people came. They were just going there at night with torch in their hands. So can you imagine millions of people walking with torches in their hands? Chatkazi became so afraid that he wouldn't come out of his house, come out of his hiding. Mahaprabhu's associates broke his garden, broke his wall, broke his gates, and they were calling. Then finally Mahaprabhu told him, I have come to your house, why aren't you receiving me? Then Chatkazi came out and he admitted what actually happened. He was not only he was afraid, the night before he had another very unusual experience. He had a dream that a lion was sitting on his chest and threatening him that I'll tear open your chest, pull out your heart. You dare to stop my Sankirtan. He saw him as a lion, but who was that lion? Lord Nrisingadev. So if anyone wants to stop Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan, Nrisingadev will come and take care of him. So we don't have to worry about them. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after the Sankirtan, after his protest march against Chatkazi, he went to Sridhar's house. Sridhar's house was not too far from Chatkazi's place. In the still now it's there, in the middle of the forest, in the middle of the field, paddy field, there is this small little hillock, and that is considered to be Sridhar's house. Sridhar was so poor that he had a broken iron pot for keeping water. Now, in the Vedic culture, iron is not considered to be a very, you know, very good metal. So, and that iron, Sridhar was so poor, that iron pot was somewhat rusted also. But Mahaprabhu went and started to drink water from that pot. And Sridhar was completely appalled. He said, please don't do that. Why are you doing it? And generally, among metals, I think the best is gold, then silver, then copper, and it goes on. And then at the bottom of the line is iron. And that also rusted iron, broken iron pot. Those days, aluminium was not out. So aluminium is worst of all metal. try to avoid using aluminium as much as possible. And so Mahaprabhu, this is how he showed Sridhar, his attachment to Sridhar. He told that Sridhar, whatever belongs to you is specially blessed by the mercy of the Lord. So that is how Mahaprabhu established Sridhar's greatness. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his Mahaprakash Leela, that is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Advaita Acharya's house. Mahaprabhu was hiding his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but this time, for the first time, Mahaprabhu revealed his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead to his devotees. Advaita Acharya was worshipping the Lord and in his temple room. Mahaprabhu went there and kicked open the door and said, Shivash Thakur actually. Shivash Thakur. So Shivash, who are you worshipping? The one you are worshipping, see, he is standing in front of you. And saying that, he removed the shaligrams and sat there on that altar. And he allowed everybody to come, first bathe him, and then worship him. And after that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to tell everybody about their past, what happened in their past. In this way, he displayed his mercy upon them. The first one that he spoke about was Gangadas Pandit. And Gangadas Pandit was the teacher. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Gangadas, do you remember the Muslims were coming to convert you? And you ran away from your house. You thought that you will go across the Ganges. So at night you came to the bank of the Ganges and you found that there was no boat. And the Muslims are coming, so they would have, nobody could even imagine what kind of torture they will subject him to do. Not only him, the entire family. The women will be molested in front of them, and then it's inhuman torture that they used to inflict upon. And Gangadas Pandit ran away with his family, but when he came to the bank of the Ganges, he found that there was no boat to go across. And he knew that the Muslims are coming, and probably not finding him at home, they would come in the Ganges, the bank of the Ganges, catch him. So then all of a sudden he noticed that there was a boatman rowing a boat in the middle of the river. So he called out, please come, please take us across. And that boatman came and took him across. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that happened long before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Gangadas Pandit was quite old when Mahaprabhu came. And he asked him, do you remember Gangadas? And then he asked him, do you know who that person was, who that boatman was? So this is how Mahaprabhu pointed out that at the time of difficulty, it was he who actually came to save him. Similarly, he spoke about Haridas Thakur. These jallads, the executioners of the Muslim Nawab, were beating you in 22 marketplaces. Their objective was to kill you in public so that everybody can see what's the consequence of a Muslim converting into Hindu. And at that time, I was about to release my Sudarshan Chakra to chop their heads off. But because you are wishing them well, I couldn't do anything to them. So although they were beating him, Haridas Thakur was wishing them well. And he said, because of your good wishes on them, that my Sudarshan Chakra wouldn't do anything to them. So at that time, I took the beating. And Mahaprabhu showed the marks of the beating on his back. So this is how Mahaprabhu started to tell one after another incidents that happened to the different devotees, indicating and how he always protected them. Then when it finally Mahaprabhu said, Sridhar was not there at that time. He said, go and get Sridhar. And so everybody went and got Sridhar. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, Sridhar, ask for anything. I am prepared to give you anything that you want. But what was Sridhar's reaction? The little boy who is to fight with me over some vegetables and banana cups and banana leaves, let that personality be my Lord and Master, life and life after life. And that is the prayer of a devotee. He doesn't want anything. All he wants is that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is his Lord and Master, remains his Lord and Master life after life. So this is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the greatness of Sridhar through these wonderful pastimes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates ki. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Gaur Premanande Hari.